I want you to take your Bible and turn to one of the great verses in God's Word that we're going to spend a considerable amount of time on now. As a matter of fact, I'm going to utilize this verse and build other scriptures into it, and we're going to spend perhaps the whole hour just building the greatness of this one verse in many different facets and ways so you get a real great understanding of it. So go to Philippians chapter 4. Beat you, had mine open. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Here's a verse of scripture. If you believe what this word says and what this verse says, you can walk into that manifestation of the life that is more than abundant. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want to give you another translation. Simply because I think you ought to be knowledgeable of it. It does have some added weight and could help you into getting a greater understanding of it before I wrap it all up. But this is a translation. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. Now that's sort of a literal translation according to usage, but it's sort of neat. I'm ready for anything, and I'm equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. The King James reads, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do. Those are the first three words. And remember in the last session I taught you that in the foundational class, the first thing you have to learn is that the Word of God is the will of God. It means what it says. And that no man can know the will of God without knowing the Word of God. But the class is primarily designed to build you. That's why we go through speaking in tongues only in the foundational class. Because in God's sight, you are the most important to Him. You have to build yourself. You have to build up that Christ within you by that Spirit of God that's there within you. That Spirit, that's why speaking in tongues edifies you. It builds you up spiritually. And before you can build up the body of believers, then you have to be built up yourself. Now, once you're built up, look what the Word says. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it. I can do it. I can. I can. Do you understand that? You see, the moment you begin to say what the Word of God says, that attitude of believing is just going to shake the world. Just last night, I listened to a clergyman expressing his experience with the Holy Spirit, and of course it wasn't from the Word, it was from his experience. He didn't sit down and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know what he said? He said that when the Holy Spirit hit him like a bolt of lightning, it possessed him, it controlled him. Now, something's got to be wrong, people. Either just what I listened to last night, and it's sort of unique that I just had to listen to it last night, and today and tonight I'm teaching you. Unbelievable how God works in my life to will and do His good pleasure and how He instructs me. I just turned the TV on just for a minute or two. I wasn't interested in watching TV. And who do you think was on that show just at that moment? This man I was telling you about. Belongs to one of the major denominations, bless his heart. But there he was saying he got hit like a bolt of lightning with it. Hit him right in the chest, he said. God came like a bolt out of the wall and hit him and knocked him over. And he got controlled and possessed. And that He moved only under the anointing. Oh, my goodness. Look, either what he says is right or what the Word says. The Word says, I can do. Doesn't say, I am possessed, I am controlled, I'm a channel. Doesn't say that at all. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, class, either God's Word is a lie or what I listened to last night for a minute or two on that TV is a lie. It's as simple as that. Has nothing to do with that man is a clergyman and I happen to be a clergyman. Not one idol. Has everything to do with what does the Word say, people? Don't you understand? It's the Word. Man's experiences are multiple. They can be counterfeit, genuine, in between, baloney, everything else. But the Word stands, and man has to line up his speaking, his speech, his words have to be lined up with what that Word says. Now here, it says, I can do. I can do. I can do it. Well, bless God, if I can do it, I can do it. It's as simple as that. If I can spit, I can spit. Right. It's as simple as that. Why not? God's Word is simple. It is. You see, you have to become word conditioned, rather than world conditioned. Most people, even Christians, spend all of their lifetime being conditioned by the world, the five senses. Can't do it. You got to be word conditioned. And when the Word has preeminence, then you stand approved before God as you teach it, and then you begin to manifest that life which is more than abundant. That's right. You know something? Basically, it's what you believe and what you do after you know I can do that really counts. I want to spend considerable time here now and just gradually work you with me through the Word and stuff so you get to see the greatness of this. First of all, when it says I can do, it's an I, not a possession. It's not something coming in and possessing me and controlling me and making me do it. There's no possession. It's a freedom of choice. It's a decision of your will. I can put my hands on the Bible. I'm not possessed. I'm not controlled. I'm not a channel. I'm not being used of God. I can put my hand on the Bible. Do you understand that? I have freedom of choice. I can put my hand on this beautiful American beauty, rose. I can, by the freedom of my will. And boy, this is so tremendous, class, because almost every other field that deals with what they refer to as the spirit field is always possession. They always talk about being taken over, being controlled, being mediums or being channeled. My, oh my, my. I, by the freedom of my will, can do. It doesn't say may, it says I can. The usage of the word may is only permissive. That means I'm permitted to do it. But can means not only permission, but that you also have the ability to do it. Isn't that beautiful? Bless your heart. Look, I can. Not I may would be only permissive, but I can, and the can includes permission plus the ability. Look. I can touch this American beauty. I have the permission and I have the ability. I can pick up this pen. I have both the ability and I have the permission to do it by my own will. Isn't that beautiful? Now, I can do. Remember that. In this Holy Spirit book, Receiving the Holy Spirit Today, I showed this to you in the last session, and you really ought to master this thing, you know, in the class. To work this book with the Word and let the Word speak. It's simply, the thing that I've done here is simply taken the Word and let each verse speak to you so that you can check it out. Don't believe what I've written in here unless what I've written in here agrees with what the Word says. This introduction in here, this introduction should just be mastered by everybody, because in this introduction I set the difference between the giver and the gift. And that becomes very dynamically important. The introduction you should master, and you should also endeavor to understand these chapters in section 2, where it deals with a study of Acts 1 and 2, beginning with page 65. You ought to work this. I wondered if you've really ever noted in your mind as to whom I dedicated this book to when I originally wrote it. Listen to this. It's dedicated to those who have longed, yet doubted, have hoped, yet feared, have hungered, yet remain unsatisfied, who desire to receive today the gift from the Holy Spirit in all its fullness. I can do. Now, if God gives us then a fullness, then you have that full ability to do with, right? Right. The gift from the Holy Spirit. In our writing, in our research, and in our teaching, I endeavor to use this preposition from and the preposition to, for instance, in a very accurate way. Whenever it's the gift of, for instance, to and of, if it's the gift of Holy Spirit or the gift from God who is Holy Spirit, we use from and of. In other words, if it's from God or if it's of God. If it's from God, it will be capital H, capital S. If it's His gift, that gift of God, then it's small h and small s, in the words Holy and Spirit. In relationship to these things that I'm saying to you about I can do, the critics will always come up with a scripture, and I might as well give it to you. It's in 1 Corinthians 10. They have pulled this on me so often that I know what they always come up with. They never come up with a new bundle of tricks, always the same stuff. Whenever you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, they'll say, yes, but. And they'll say, do you ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 10? Then you just say, huh-huh. Listen to it. This is the one they want you to read. It's 10:12, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Wherefore, let him who thinketh that he standeth take heed lest he fall. So they'll say to you, yes, I can do all things, but don't you get proud now. You better watch out. Because, man, you're beginning to brag. Now, be careful, because if you're not careful, you're going to go flat on your nose. Oh, why don't they read it in context, referring back to Israel and all that other stuff? You see, always belittling God's Word, that's what they're after. Because if they can get you to say less than what the Word says, man, if they can take you and get you to say something contrary to the Word, then you're working for the adversary. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall is not used in the essence of, now don't you believe that when the Word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that is wrong.
Right.
Well, look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, is King James. First of all, there is no article "the" in any critical Greek text. Let me say further that there is no article "the" in Estringelo Aramaic at any place. And Greek, of course, is later than Estringelo Aramaic, and Greek had the definite article "the," therefore they added it whenever they wanted to and they deleted it whenever they wanted to. So you have to be able to work the Word of God without the article "the." Whether it's there or not is not important to me. I have to be able to work it without. But in this particular incident, of course, in the critical Greek text, there is no article "the" anyway. They were all filled with pneuma hagion, Holy Ghost. Here it's capital H, capital G. And began to speak with other tongues as the pneuma, the Spirit, gave them utterance. You see, in English language, whenever we have a proper noun, we have to capitalize it. And the words "Holy" and "Spirit," when they refer to God as Holy Spirit, we would have to capitalize. And therefore, every translator capitalized these words, pneuma and Holy Spirit, whenever he felt like it. This is not to be capitalized here. This is not, they were all filled with God. They were filled with his gift, pneuma hagion, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Here you have two usages of the word "Spirit" in one verse, and that's why I've picked this verse at this particular time with you to teach you something. Two usages. The first usage is the gift. The second is the giver. They were all filled with pneuma hagion, the gift, Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, the pneuma, which is God, gave them utterance. So you have the gift and the giver. One of the reasons I know, among other reasons, that this was the gift is because of the word "filled" in verse 4. They were all filled with pneuma hagion. The word "filled." The word "filled" is the word "plato" here in Acts 2:4. And the word "pletho" is spelled P-L-E-T-H-O. I want to show you something. I'm going to demonstrate this thing to you so you'll never forget it. Bless your heart. There are two words used for "filled" that I'm concerned about that you understand. One is the word "plerako." Plerako is spelled P-L-E-R-O. Plerako. To plerako means to be filled to capacity. When you're born again of God's Spirit and you have Christ in you, the hope of glory, you're filled to capacity. That's all you ever get. There is no more. That's all there is. God in Christ in you, that's full. And God, no respect your persons, right? He doesn't give you more than he gives me. He hasn't given me more than he gives you. If he gave me more than he gave you, he'd be a respecter of persons, and God is no respecter of persons. So when you are plerakoed, filled, and I'm going to take you into the Word and show you these words very carefully as we get involved here now, but I want to explain this so that you'll never forget it, and I want to demonstrate it to you. Let's say that this glass represents the body, and this red in here represents God in Christ in you, the gift, the gift. Now, the plerako is when you're born again of God's Spirit, you're filled to capacity. Now watch it very carefully. Whoa, there is filled to capacity. Hold it steady where will. I'll do her. Don't worry, you're not making me nervous. I'm just standing, think, the job. Now, look, it's filled to capacity, plumb full. That's pleroco. That's pleroco. Now, Acts 2:4 said, use the word pletho. And pletho is filled to overflowing. Now, watch it. Here, I add this to it. Now, what happens? Look at it, look at it. It's overflowing. Isn't that beautiful? That overflowing is the speaking in tongues. That's right. That overflowing is the speaking in tongues. The overflowing is the evidence. The manifestations are the overflowing. Well, bless your heart. Not neat? Sure, it's neat. Good deal. Well, let's go back here to the Word and see what we got over here. You know, Acts 2:4, what did it say? They were all filled with pneumahagion. They overflowed. It's the word pletho. They overflowed. And that's how I know they had the manifestation, the overflowing, the pletho. Then before you can overflow, you have to play rocco. You have to be filled with it. So they had to be born again before they could play, though, right? Sure, it's right. Bless your heart. Not a beautiful verse. Man, oh man, and they've all missed it. In Acts chapter 2 and in verse 1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and the word fully come there is the word sum pleroco. And I don't remember how I spelled pleroco a little while ago, but I got it written here in my Bible, and I know this is right. It's spelled P-L-E-R-O-O. The day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, I mean verse 2, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled, and the word filled there is pleroco. All the house where they were sitting, that's where they were born again of God's Spirit. They pleroco'd. They were filled to capacity, understand? Then verse 4 said, and they were all filled with pneumahagion. The filled in verse 4 is pletho. Verse 2, they pleroco'd, filled to capacity. Verse 4, they manifested, like I just showed you, the overflowing. They manifested. And it says they began to speak with other tongues. See where the manifestation is? That's something. In the Gospel of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, just read you a few of these verses from the Word to show you how tremendous and great these verses really are. Luke 1, verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth had heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with pneumahagion. Elizabeth was filled with pneumahagion. And the word filled is not pleroco, it is pletho. You know what that tells you? That she manifested. She plethoed. She was filled. She overflowed in manifestation, filled with pneumahagion, the gift. Filled with the gift in manifestation. Verse 57 of this same chapter of Luke 1. Listen again. Now, Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. Full time is pimplemi, which is a takeoff off of the word pletho. You know what she did? She carried that little child within herself for 9 months, and then she made a delivery. She had a delivery, and when her full time was come, She delivered. It says that. You see, it's manifested. It's in evidence. Before that, you couldn't see the baby, but now the baby's delivered. The baby's brought forth. Isn't that fantastic how God's word fits like a hand in a glove? Verse 67 of the same chapter of Luke. Talking about John's father, Zacharias, verse 67. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with pneumahagion and prophesied. See? Prophesied. Filled with pneumahagion. And the word filled there is the word plato. Manifested evidence. That overflowing that I showed you earlier. In chapter 5 of Luke is also another record I want you to see. 5:55, verse 7. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. The word filled there is the word plato. And you know the picture I get? They put all those fish in the boat and the fish kept jumping out over the outside of it. Plato. They had so many fish in the boat, they just jumped out on the outside. Just that overflowing of it. That's how many fish they had. There's an interesting record also in Luke. I mean in Ephesians. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Chapter 5. Ephesians 5. Verse 18. Listen to this. Be not drunk. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with or by Spirit. Here it's a dative case, so it should be not be filled with, but be filled by. And being in the dative case, the word filled could not be plato. It wasn't an overflowing, it was an incoming to the full capacity. That's why that word filled in Ephesians 5:18 is the word plerako. P-L-E-R-O-O. That's the word, blessed. Isn't that wonderful? And I'll give you one more in Colossians. There are many like this in the word, but these are some of the great teaching verses that you need in relationship to I can do. Remember? They were all filled, Acts 2:4, and began to speak with other tongues. I can do. They were not possessed. They were not controlled. They were not channels. They were not mediums. God just wasn't working, using them. Not at all. Listen to Colossians chapter 2. This is great. For in Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ, in Him, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. The reason it's Godhead, He's head God. There's only one God. Head God dwelt fully, fully, bodily in Him. And it's the word pleroma, P-L-E-R-O-M-A, which means He lambanoed it. He manifested. Jesus Christ showed forth the Father. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's why Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I always do the Father's will. He was out there demonstrating, moving the things of God. And then you could see God because Christ was manifesting the greatness of that power. You see, this gift of God in Christ in you, this gift of pneumahagion, the gift from the giver who is God. God's gift. The gift is special, not the doing or the working of it. The gift of God is a miracle. It's a miracle of all miracles. You know, a man's dead in trespasses and sins without God and without hope in the world. Man, when you're born again of God's Spirit, that's just that gift of God is just the greatest thing in the whole world. It's a miracle of all miracles. The gift of God, that's special, that's right. The working of that gift, the utilization, the operation of that gift within you, That's not spatial. That operation works according to your renewed mind believing. And you'll operate it properly only if you operate according to God's Word. Here is something all of you have seen in the foundational class, but you can never teach this too much to people. They just never get too much of the great understanding of God's Word. But let me show you everything I've just related to you on this chart. And it's always in relationship to I can do. Remember, I can do. I can do. Because of the giver and his what? You're right. His gift. Now watch it. Here is God. Put him up here in the triangle because we do believe in the Trinity. We believe in God, we believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, and we believe in the Holy Spirit. And if three makes the Trinity, that's what we believe. And maybe that's why they designed this. And they were real patriotic too, by the way, when they did it. I see it's red, white, and blue. Well, that's not bad either, because God's sort of patriotic too when you believe Him. Well, anyways, God is the giver. God is the giver. And God is holy, and God is spirit. That's the greatest thing God is. God's a lot of things in the Word, but when you put it all together, it wraps it all up in two great truths, that God is holy and God is spirit. And of course, in English, in the language of English, whenever you're talking about God, you would have to capitalize the word pneuma, which is spirit, and you'd have to capitalize the word hagion, which is holy. That's why God is Holy Spirit. Now, by sheer laws of logic, by just plain reason and good common sense that God's Word sets forth, God can only give what He is. God cannot give what He is not. And the greatest thing God is, He is holy and He is spirit. And for the first time on the day of Pentecost, God for the first time could really give what He really is as a gift. That's why on the day of Pentecost, He gave His gift. And His gift is also called Pneuma Hagion, Holy Spirit. And it should always be lowercase. God has to be uppercase in English, but His gift should, the words pneuma hagion should never be uppercase as the gift, always lowercase, Holy Spirit. Isn't that something? And how much confusion there have been in people's minds over these two words. You see, in the critical Greek text as well as the Estrangelo Aramaic text, the words pneuma and hagion are never capitalized, never, just never capitalized. Therefore, all capitalization is private interpretation and depends upon what language you are speaking. And in English, you have to capitalize proper nouns. But in Greek and Estrangelo Aramaic, you don't have to. Makes a lot of difference in English whether these nouns are capitalized or not. That's right. See? Generally, it doesn't make too much difference, even in English, whether a noun is capitalized. But when it refers to God, it makes a lot of difference. You take the word cat, for instance, a noun, cat. Whether you capitalize it with a capital C or leave it lowercase, it won't make the cat any more cattier, I guarantee you. That's right. It won't increase its viciousness or its gentleness or the way in which it purrs at 90 miles an hour. Take the word dog, capitalizing capital D-O-G or lowercase D-O-G doesn't make the dog any doggier. But boy, when you go to the words pneuma hagion and you capitalize holy and you capitalize spirit, you are saying God. When you lowercase it, you are saying His gift. So you have to rightly divide the Word of God from this context to know whether it's the giver who is God or whether it's His gift. Now, God can't give baloney. He can't give Cracker Jack and those little things that sometimes I refer to in these classes. God can only give what He is, so He gave the greatest thing God is, His gift, Holy Spirit. And that is God in Christ, in you, the hope of glory. God in Christ in you. Isn't that beautiful? God in Christ in you. I can what? Do. What? Because it's God in Christ in you. Man, oh man, can't you see that? Sure you can see it. Well, bless God, do something about it then. I like you, keep you. But it is called the power from on high. It's called the power from on high. That's God in Christ in you. God in Christ in you. The power from on high. I can what? Do. Right. What can I do? Oh, I can speak in tongues. You bet your life. I can do. Not possess, not control. I can do. I can do it. But suppose I'm taught that I can't do it. Then I, what? Can't do it. Even though I'm born again of God's Spirit, I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, confessed Him with my, believe God, that's right. I still can't do it because I've been talked out of it. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what's happened to the Christian world today. Oh, we got oodles of people born again of God's Spirit. Wonderful. But they just don't know what they're to do. They're talked out of everything. Look, the Word says, I can do. Well, bless God, if I'm born again of God's Spirit and have His gift, what can I do? I can do. Speaking in tongues. Interpretation of tongues. Prophecy. Word of knowledge. Word of wisdom. Discerning of spirits. Faith. Miracles. Healing. I can do. See, the gift is God in Christ in you. You can't see the gift. But when it overflows, like it did on those, when I showed you the water in the tumbler, when it can overflow, when it overflows, then you have the manifestations. The manifestations are the evidences. The indication in the senses world of the Holy Spirit in you as the gift from the giver who is God. Class, this thing is absolutely biblical and it's so absolutely simple and it's so absolutely beautiful that the old adversary has just kept people and talked them out of it for centuries. Look, I can do. The reason God's Word can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me is because God has given it as a gift. You see, all nine manifestations, all nine of those manifestations back here that I showed you, all nine of them, the speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, this word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, healing, all nine of those operations are possible because of the gift. The gift is the spiritual ability. The gift is the enablement. This gift enables you to do the job if you want to do it.
That's right.
It does not mean you're automatically going to do it. You know, I could give you this gift of my pen, and then I could say to you, well, I want you to write me a letter, or write your best friend a letter. I could give you the gift, but that doesn't mean you're automatically going to sit down and write me a letter. You may never write me, but you may never write a letter to your best friend.
That's right.
I can do, because it's God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why you can do. Now let's take it a little further. I want to go to Timothy. 2 Timothy. Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians. 1 and 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now listen to this, verse 2. Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, I can do all things through Christ. The same, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. God in Christ in you makes you an able man. An able man is able because of the enablements or the abilities that he has been given. You see, I can do with Christ in me. I can do all things through Christ. This he has committed to faithful men who shall be able. Who doesn't say who will be, but who shall absolutely carry out the job. An able man is able because of the enablements that God has given him. That's why he's able. The enablements, the abilities make that man able. And being able men. Able men with these enablements. That's why the word says that these men, able men, are messengers. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 7a. Chapter 8, verse 23. Listen to this. Whether any inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning, or our brethren be inquired of. They are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Imagine that. Sure, I can imagine. Word says so. We are able men. We are men whom God has given the enablements to as a gift. And then we are the messengers of the churches, and we are the glory of Christ. Isn't that a fantastic truth? As messengers, look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. Talking about Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, fellow soldier, but your minister, your messenger, and he that ministereth to my want, your messenger. You see, able men are messengers. Secondly, the word says, able men are ambassadors also. You've heard this before, Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We're ambassadors for Christ. See? Able men are messengers, but they're also ambassadors. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20, for which I am an ambassador, Paul says. You see, able men are not only messengers, but they're also ambassadors. And a messenger and an ambassador always puts his best foot forward. Right. As an ambassador, you represent Christ. No matter how you feel or what you may think, you are his ambassador. So think what God says you're supposed to think. Act like God's son ought to act. Walk with your shoulders back, your head up, and move with the greatness of that power of God. You see, I demonstrated to you in the foundational class. I don't want to go through all that stuff again. about ambassadors, to build the greatness of this interpretation of tongues and prophecy into you, so that man, you move, I can do. I have the enablements. I'm an able man. As a messenger, I'm an ambassador. You know what else it says? You're witness. Acts chapter 1. That's right. Acts chapter 1. Listen to this. You all know it. Verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the pneumahagion is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Witnesses, witnesses unto him. And basically, this is just not wrapping the word, just laying the word on people, witnessing. And I guarantee you, it's not experiential witnessing. Where you say, well, this is what God did for me. Just look at me, what he did for me. No, 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 no. You know what this witness is in context? The witnessing with the manifestations that I showed y'all over here. The nine manifestations. That's right. That's the witnessing of that. So you're a messenger, you're an ambassador, and you witness. You witness by the manifestation. Well, when I speak in tongues, and you hear it, then you know I must have God in Christ in me, the hope of glory, else I couldn't speak in tongues. Right? Sure it's right. In chapter 5 of Acts, the witness. Acts chapter 5, look at verse 32. Boy, isn't this beautiful? Sure it is. I wouldn't waste my time teaching. It's God's Word. God's Word's always beautiful. Verse 32 says, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the pneumahagion, whom God hath given to them that obey him. The obeying is believing God and getting it, that's all. We're his witnesses. So you see, as able men who can do, we're messengers, we're ambassadors, we're witnesses. We're also something else, soldiers and athletes of the Spirit. 2 Timothy, bless your heart. Chapter 2 again. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Listen to verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And the word soldier here is used in the sense of meaning endurance. A man that can endure, a man that can, who has been highly trained, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man, verse 4, no man that warreth and tangleth himself with the affairs of this life, no man that warreth, no man that prepares himself as a soldier so that he has endurance. That's the meaning of the word warreth. Entangles himself with the affairs of life. That soldier out there in training to get tough and to get hard cannot be entangled again with, well, do I buy a new car? Do I get four more wives? What do I do? Get divorced? Do I do this? Do I go here? He can't entangle himself with the affairs of this life. No man that warreth entangleth himself. What for? Why? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. As an athlete of the Spirit, you don't get entangled with all the affairs of life. You have a commission, you have a dedication, you have a commitment you got to carry out. You are a messenger. You're an ambassador. You're a witness for God. I can do. He's given you the enablements, made you an able man. You just cannot afford to let things of the world drag you down. You see, a man in the service doesn't polish his rifle when the enemy's coming at him. God, you polish that old rifle up and grease it all up so when the enemy comes, you can take care of the enemy. You can't sit out on that, oh, there comes the enemy running toward me. See, and I got my old gun apart or something. I'm putting this gun together and by the time that enemy gets here, I'm a dead duck, man. That's right. You polish that old baby up, you know, at night when you're down there below. Nobody coming at you. Get her all polished up. Then when you meet that old enemy and take care of him, you don't wait to put on the Word of God until you need it. You put it on first. Hide the Word in your heart. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the Word. You do all of this. Then when the enemy comes, you're an athlete of the Spirit. You can outrun that old bird. You can take care of it. You can operate the manifestation according to the Word of God. 2 Timothy, you know, chapter 2, I just quoted it. Chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. A workman. You see, we're not only messengers, ambassadors, witnesses, soldiers, or athletes of the Spirit. We are workmen. Not a bunch of lazy birds. We're workmen. Try. Rightly dividing the word of what? Truth. 1 Corinthians also tells you this. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. We are God's field, God's building. The word laborers is workmen. For we are workmen. Together with God. Now that's good company. That's your life. It's good company. Workers with whom? God. Man, I can do. You bet your life I can do. You bet it. I workers together with whom? God. This is 2 Corinthians. That's dandy too. Chapter 6. Verse 1. We then as workers together with him. With him is supplied, but the context preceding indicates God. The righteousness of God it's talking about. We then workers together with God. Workers together with God. Workers together. Isn't that beauty? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Yeah. Isn't God wonderful? Man, oh man, how we've all just so missed it, you know. How we've been talked out of it. I can do. No, nobody ever taught me that. They said, take heed. Don't get so bold. You might fall flat on your nose. Don't you be proud. You say that, you're proud, man. I can do. How are you going to manifest a more than abundant life if you can never do? I can do. Sure. Oh, yes, some more from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Man, you better be able to do, boy. If you're going to be a steward of the mystery of God and you're going to be a minister of Christ, you better be able to do. I can do. The ministers of Christ, stewards, caretakers of the mysteries of God, stewards. Boy, oh boy, what a tremendous truth. Look at this. Get up here and really teach you this thing, man. That's it, 1 Corinthians 4. Enablements, right, here. Let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, verse 2. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. Yeah. that a man be found faithful. You and I are ministers of Christ. You know, we're responsible for the stewardship of the mystery of God, which is the God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. That the Gentiles are fellow heirs and of the same body. That's right. We're stewards of that. People, we've got to be able to do. If we can't do, then how are we going to be stewards of that mystery? How are you going to be that way? Boy, I got to be able to do. There is no other way. Stewards of the mystery. And the one requirement is that the steward, the man be found what? Faithful. 2 Timothy 2:2 said, faithful men, commit to faithful men. Faithful men who are able to teach others. Oh, this is my ministry, to teach faithful men who then are able to teach others also. Faithful men who are able men because of the enablements God has given them. Teach them God's word so they can teach others. Because we are messengers. We are stewards. We are ambassadors. We're workers. We're fellow laborers with God. Oh, people, I can do. You bet your life. Because God in Christ has given to me the enablement, His gift, the ability to do. And He has given to us the responsibility of holding forth that word. That word which is life. Without that word class, there is no life. And the one requirement in that stewardship of that mystery is that you and I be found faithful. Faithful in carrying out God's word and to say, I can do.